Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
Are you ready for your next winter adventure? Whether it's a stylish all-wheel drive SUV to get the family where they need to go, or an innovative EV to make the switch to electric, ChevyDriveChicago.com has you covered. With Equinox, Traverse, Silverado, Trax, and Trailblazer, you're sure to find the perfect Chevy to match your needs and lifestyle. But finding the right car is only part of the story. Winter weather is here, and your vehicle needs to be ready for anything. From oil changes and tire rotations to unexpected repairs, your local Chevy dealer is here to help. Their team of experts knows your vehicle, and they will make sure your car is safe, reliable, and ready to handle whatever the season brings. So why wait? Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today to find your local dealer, shop the latest vehicles, and schedule your service appointment. ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
The Rude Guest Hotline's been hot today, although not as much hotline as much as the Rude Guest line of guests.
The Rude Eye Contact line.
This here radio program. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We're going to take you up to 6:30 on Grant and Danny. We do have a Caps power play coming your way as Ovi looks for a goal in a fourth straight game tonight as he chases down Wayne Gretzky. 17 from history at this point. We'll get to that at the end of this here segment coming up in just a little bit. Also, I did catch up with the Kyles from the Ravens. Kyle Van Noy, part of the Patriots dynasty, and Kyle Hamilton, Ravens safety that everybody wanted in Washington. Guess what, dude? It was way better than I thought. I was kind of half in, half out on doing it for the reasons we talked about earlier. I was like, you know what? Every fan in town wanted Kyle Hamilton. I want to ask him about the pre-draft process. They ended up being a 10 out of 10. And Hamilton was awesome about sitting down with Rivera pre-draft, talking about the pre-draft process. And Van Noy was basically calling out Washington for not taking him and saying what a mistake it was. People want to hear it. It was pretty
good. Danny was doing that or Kyle Van Noy was doing that?
Right. We'll get to that in about 12 minutes. Make sure you're listening right here on The Fan to hear from the Kyles from the Ravens. Dan Orlovsky in just a moment. But the show is brought to you today and every day exclusively by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murad.
Just like most of you, it's got a primary doctor that you lean on. It's good to also have a trusted attorney in your corner. He's an exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Murad. Can help you when you need help the most. Whether you're seeking guardianship of an elderly family member, navigating through the probate process of a loved one recently passed, or trying to set up estate planning documents for your child's future, the attorneys at Condori and Murad are there for you. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Let's talk with Dan Orlovsky. I actually caught up with him a little bit earlier today right here on Radio Row and discussed Super Bowl 59, the talented Eagles, the inevitable Chiefs. How's he handicapped the game?
I think that there's a lot of things that are going to matter Through the course of the game, I think two things that will be very important outside of like the X's and O's is second down will be huge for Philadelphia's offense. If they can win second down and get them into the really favorable third and four, third and fives, because then they can run the ball and go tush push, that's a really big advantage for Philly. Now, if they struggle on second down, whether throwing or the running the football, and they get into some of the third and sixes plus, that's when they're going to deal with a lot of the chaos from Steve Spagnuolo, both in pressures and defensive back blitzes and coverages. I think the second part is, for if you're Philly, it's almost a three-quarter game for you. There's no way that you feel good and confident going into the fourth quarter in a one-score game, whether you're up by five or down by five against Kansas City. So if I'm Philly, aggression has got to be a big part of the thought process to try and say, hey, we're in the third quarter, we're up by two possessions. That's another big advantage for Philadelphia. You're going to have to stop Saquon if you're Kansas City. You're going to have to tackle well if you're Philly out in space. So there's a lot that matters, but I think those are two focus points for me.
So that was the salad I had to eat to get to the entree, which is now to get to talk to you a little bit about the Commanders and the rookie year of Jaden Daniels. We've been playing a lot of your audio throughout the season. Goes without saying, you were immensely impressed.
Big time. You know, I was a person who came out and said I would take Jaden Daniels number one if I was Chicago. And a lot of people called me the dumbest person on the planet for it. And so that's our wins and losses in my world. I just believe that he had a lot of the things that are necessary to go play, at least physically. You don't necessarily know mentally because you don't know the type of person, how he handles all that stuff. Obviously, he exceeded in that. But physically, the ball placement, the getting through progressions, the snap release, throw from any situation within the pocket, and then the athleticism to go make plays. But it wasn't I run when people are open. It was I run when no one's there and no one's an option. So I thought a lot of those stuff that he showed at LSU transferred really well. And he had a sensational year, obviously a ton of big moments. I thought Cliff was, you know, step for step with him as far as development as well. So you got to give Cliff a lot of credit. And some of the late game heroics and the way that he played when it mattered the most, it's really tough to evaluate if that will be the thing, but it's big time to see. And I just saw him and his mom. I'm super happy for them.
Yeah, it's been an amazing year. He's a really, really good kid, as you know. You mentioned Cliff Kingsbury. We had you on the show earlier in the season. I was very skeptical of that hire and just generally the pairing with Daniels. I know you had some questions about Kingsbury. It ended up working really well. What did he do that – what adjustments did he make that you liked?
Well, I think the second thing is all the different ways that they would operate in the no huddle. That was not something that was a trademark of Arizona. And the different ways that they could play no huddle and run the football, play no huddle and keep the same personnel on the field, play no huddle and change the personnel, play the no huddle and get into different formations. And so, you know, that's a big development. That's a lot for defenses to handle because they don't see it a lot in the NFL. They don't prepare for a lot in the NFL. And then when you're playing in space that they often force you to do, Washington offensively does, it's a big challenge. So I like that development. I also like the fact that, you know, he really got into some different pass concepts or NFL pass concepts that I was pretty critical of in Arizona that you did not see form. And I think that the simplified protections that they used really helped them play fast. It forced defenses to have to play a little bit simplified as well. So I give a lot of credit for Cliff to kind of attack some of the stuff that maybe held them back a little bit in Arizona.
Dan Orlovsky of ESPN on Grant and Danny. Are there any additions you'd like to see either schematically, maybe it's Jaden's game, or just areas where you'd say the foundation was incredible, but now everyone's coming for you next year? Here's something you got to think about.
Yeah, I think, well, definitely enhancements in personnel. You know, like they definitely need more playmakers on the perimeter. Obviously, you know, Terry's a special player, but so that's not a schematic thing. I do believe that they'll have to develop more protection use because teams are smart in this league and they'll figure it out. So more diversity within the protections that they'll use. Their counter run game was fantastic. I think a little bit more of a downhill run game will be viable as well. A lot of their run game was having pullers. Again, teams will figure that stuff out or counter that stuff as well. So a little bit more of a downhill run game, I think, will be a big deal. And then some of their, you know, their perimeter screen game is great. You know, Philadelphia blew it up. You know, great defenses will blow it up. So you know, can they develop a little bit more of that quick passing game that supplements that? Doesn't replace it, but supplements that.
Dan Orlovsky on G&D on the Fan. You mentioned the outside personnel in the passing game. I'm kind of curious where they go with this. They get to the NFC Championship game. Daniels was an elevator. It's Zacchaeus who caught 10 balls in Philly last year. Noah Brown they bring in at the last minute. De'Ami Brown, who may or may not be back. Would you make it a real priority to go get a dude?
Yes.
Whether that's T. Higgins, you would?
No, absolutely. Look at all the teams in the NFC. Okay, if we just take the NFC teams and we go, who are the really, really good teams? Well, Philadelphia, they got two dudes. And then we go to the, you know, other divisions. Minnesota, two dudes. Detroit, two dudes. Green Bay's got like four of them. Chicago seems to have at least one, if not two dudes. The Seattle Seahawks, two dudes.
Does there have to be an outside wide receiver? Could it be like a tight end that stretches a field, a home run hitting running back? Or are you saying like...
I like their running backs. I like B-Rob and I like Eckler. So running back for me, I still think they're in a good place. I'm not telling you you got to go get Jamar Chase, but I do believe, and I thought Zach was really good this year as well. So I think another guy that I'm not telling you it's comparable of a Terry, but you know in that conversation, yeah, that's just the way the conference is. So I think that's a really big deal for them this offseason is getting that kind of guy.
We're trying to figure out, should the expectation now be that they're in the mix at the end of the year in the NFC, or was this just kind of a crazy run? How do you view them going into next year?
Yeah, I think that you're probably – you don't want to do what the Giants kind of did 2 years ago when they went on that run. You're like, oh, Washington, what they accomplished this year was awesome. They won 5 games on the last play of the game, essentially. That's not normal in the NFL. Like, if they won 3 of those games, that still wouldn't be that normal. But they wouldn't have gone to the NFC title game. They may not have even been in the playoffs. So, like, they, as an organization, a team, have to really attack it of the mindset. Maybe, like, almost thinking, you know, we've got to take the big jump next year as far as we got to add in our personnel. Their defense is going to have to get better. If they want to play the style that Dan wants to play, they got to get probably another cover guy or two, an elite edge rusher. So, I think they're going to be in the conversation very much so because the quarterback's such a good player and it seems like the building's in a really good place. But to sit there and go, yeah, you know, if you make one or two moves, you're going to go to the, you know, Super Bowl, you're kidding yourself. You got to really be conscious of how those games were won late.
Play GM for me for a second. What would be your level of interest if you had to give up a couple ones and something else for Myles Garrett?
Yeah, a couple ones I get really dangerous about and conscious about. Myles Garrett is absolutely sensational. He's been in Cleveland for a long time and been sensational. And, you know, he hasn't, you know, gone to the Super Bowl. So I still believe that if you're the Washington Commanders and you say, hey, we're going to take 3 high draft picks and we're going to give them to Cleveland for Myles Garrett, well, that means their offense isn't going to be added to, more than likely, unless there's a T. Higgins or a Godwin, and that's a dice roll. And then defensively, like, again, where are the cover people coming from if Dan wants to play that style? So I get cautious of doing with that many high-end picks because I still think building a roster through the draft and hitting your draft picks is the best way to be very good in this league consistently.
Awesome having you. Thank you.
Thanks, bud.
That's Dan Orlovsky of ESPN. Covered a lot of ground there, but in talking about Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, he basically said what everyone we've talked to all week have said.
Yeah.
He thinks that they're really good sustainably. They're not going anywhere, and it's because of number 5.
Yeah, pretty simple, right? I mean, you look at every situation. Look at the Bills 5 years ago, right, with Josh Allen. Still really, really good. But almost a totally different cast of characters. They had to reinvent themselves. I'm going, before the year, they're really going to miss Stephon Diggs. Nope, not even a little bit, right? I mean, that you have that anchor. You have that lead goose who's going to make everyone else around him right and better, etc. And you may have that exact same thing here where you're part of the upper crust simply because you've got that guy that everybody wants to play with, but B, I think the word you used, I think, is really good. Elevator, right? I mean, that's what it is. They did it with Noah Brown and De'Ami Brown and Olamide Zaccheaus and Jamison Crowder, guys that anybody at any time could have said yes to that didn't.
I was very surprised to hear Orlovsky's confidence in their running back room. He said he's good with what they have. Mm. Robinson, Eckler, bringing back one of or some of those cast of characters around them on the depth chart. I guess Chris Rodriguez, Jeremy McNichols. I want a home run hitter. Lewis Riddick said that earlier today. I'm with him. Go out and get yourself someone with some speed who could hit the ball over the fence rather than the singles, the occasional Robinson double. So I will disagree with him a little bit there, but I do love the idea of him talking about adding another stellar weapon offensively. I do think that that's necessary.
Yeah, speaking my language on that one. And you know, listen, you're never going to get me to turn down more good offensive players for a roster, but if you're prioritizing – I liked his answer on that one about going to get another dude in the passing game and kind of where the league is now in terms of coverages. Because you look at it, look at the way teams played them, look at the way teams play defense, frankly, almost throughout. It's a lot of shell, it's a lot of keep you in front, it's a lot of, you know, kind of those money times. It's press, it's man, and you could do that against Washington and get away with it, especially when things weren't humming.
Just a few minutes ago, I caught up with the Kyles from Baltimore. Kyle Hamilton and Kyle Van Noy. The idea really was we just wanted to talk to Kyle Hamilton about Washington's fan base wanting him drafted. They were right. Rivera and the group was wrong. They ended up taking Jahan Dotson, but it ended up being a great conversation. Just a few moments ago, this is how it sounded.
I mean, at one point in time, the entire Commanders fan base was sure that Washington was going to draft you, and then it didn't happen.
Who just going.
We don't want to talk about that.
People are very pissed off
about it. I'll just say that.
It was Forbes?
No, he was your avenue. John Dotson. Well, they traded back.
Moved back, took Dotson, who's now been traded already. Not on the team.
Bummer.
But nobody's upset about it or anything. But what do you remember about before the draft, just that process? And was Washington on you or not really?
Yeah, I mean, it was a crazy process. Glad I don't have to go through it again. You know, your head's kind of spinning. You don't know where you're going to be living, playing. But yeah, I took a visit to Washington, talked to Ron Rivera, talked to all those guys there. It's crazy. There's literally, I don't think anybody there that was interviewing with me that's still there right now.
Part of the reason why.
It's crazy. But, you know, I honestly go into the draft. I was happy wherever I got drafted, whatever team, whatever pick, didn't matter. I was like, I'm a first rounder NFL draft. I couldn't really ask for more than that. So I'm just blessed to be where I'm at right now.
Ravens pass rusher Kyle Van Noy on Grant and Danny on the Fan. God, what you've done the last couple of years as a pass rusher is incredible. You look at your career arc now, over 20 sacks the last couple of years combined. Do you feel like this was an opportunity thing or that you basically, you know, worked on and harnessed the game in a way that maybe before you didn't have it?
Well, for me, I think it's a little bit of everything, right? Timing's everything, what you're asked to do. I was asked to play multiple positions, so I wasn't able to focus on something. And when I made the switch that, hey, I'm just going to pass rush. I'm tired of covering these fast-ass running backs. I'm good off that. I'm just going to focus on pass rush, and it's been awesome. I did it in high school. I did it in college. And then when I first got to the NFL, they're like, hey, play off the ball. And, you know, it worked out good, but pass rushing has been awesome. It's been kind of like, I don't want to say a resurgence in my career because I'd be disrespectful for kind of what I've done in my career, but it's been just giving me a whole new life and a whole new meaning to keep playing because it's still fresh and it's still new.
Raven safety Kyle Hamilton on Grant and Danny on the Fan. Did you have any feel? I mean, social media probably makes it easier for how much of a hunger there was in D.C. for you? You were kind of like the guy everyone was pulling for.
You know, there's a lot of that pre-draft. I really try to stay off social media as much as I can, especially around big times like the season, and delete Twitter and all that stuff. But the fans are going to be fans, so it was just whatever to me.
The deleting of the social media thing seems like a good move when you're, like, struggling or whatever. All pros, like, yeah. Pro Bowls. I would think you want to be on social media. People are being nice.
I mean, I'm on it constantly just because I think it's always good to engage with fans, whether you're on a winning team or a losing team. They've been helpful in my career, and I think they'll help me when I'm done with my career. It's just been amazing to get to know the fans, but I think the fans in Washington should be sad. They should be sad they didn't get Kyle because he's one-on-one on a football field right now. He's special, and they screwed that up. So whoever that is, way to go.
They're all fired.
I don't know if all of them are.
Like 99% of them.
Okay. Well, sorry.
Sorry about your luck.
It was your fault.
We will thank him, not blame him. Raven safety Kyle Hamilton on Grant and Danny on the fan. He mentioned, though, you're kind of the one-of-one. You are a unique guy in terms of the multiple ways and versatility you bring in the secondary. I'd say, is that going to be a trend? But it's hard to do it, right? But how do you view your role? It used to be like strong, free. You're playing so many positions. Like, how do you – is there a name for it?
I don't know. I feel like just safety. I feel like safety nowadays kind of comes with a lot of – it's kind of a loaded position in terms of just what you're asked to do. That's why I feel like, you know, guys like Minka Fitzpatrick, Derwin James, guys like that, more of those kind of guys who do a lot, cover, play in the post, go blitz. I think that's kind of going to become the norm. I feel like free and strong safety is kind of old school in terms of just way of thought. Yeah. Somebody's just sitting in the post all game versus, you know, just everybody doing everything. And I feel like that's the best way to go. You don't really have any mismatches anywhere back there. And, you know, it's been great so far.
Lastly, you guys did play Washington about midway through the year. Yeah. Just curious to get your thoughts on what you saw from Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. They ended up going on a run to the NFC title game. We start with Kyle Van Noy, but I mean, could you tell they were pretty good when you played them?
Yeah, I'm very impressed with Jaden Daniels. I think I'm starting to call him basically the Steph Curry of football. I know that's early to say, but it's because he chews on his mouthpiece the whole game. And you're like, what the hell? Like, he doesn't get rattled or anything. He's just chewing his mouthpiece like a young kid out there having a blast. And I always tell this to people when I talk about Jaden Daniels, his poise has been so impressive to watch. The way he makes the right decision almost every time is impressive, especially with a O-line that you guys had. It wasn't necessarily the best O-line, but to do what he did, make fast decision, make the right decision, basically 98% of the time was very impressive for a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I was just on a talking to somebody on a podcast earlier, and I said the same thing that top four guys, Lamar, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. I think Jaden, you can agree with me or not on this, I feel like Jaden has the same demeanor walking onto a football field as those guys. Just like you can't rattle him, like kind of got a swagger about him, and I feel like you got to have that at his position especially, because you got guys like him trying to hit you all day long. Yeah. And, you know, you're going to get hit. You're going to have bad plays. You're going to have great plays. And just having that cool – there wasn't one play this year where I said that he just was nervous or kind of was sporadic or anything like that. It was like you're playing against a six-year vet, and I think he's got a great future ahead of him.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How about that at the end of the interview, them talking about Jaden Daniels? Kyle Van Noy of the Ravens, double-digit sacks this year. Steph Curry of football. Kyle Hamilton says, Mahomes, Lamar, Burrow, and Allen are the best four quarterbacks in the league. He's got the same demeanor as those guys. There wasn't one play when he was nervous. I mean, that has been basically what guys are saying week long. They all think this dude is already a top 5-7 quarterback in the league.
Well, it's that the one word. It's not like everyone got together in football and said, all right, we're going to have one word for branding for Jaden Daniels. We agree on poise. Great. Every person that speaks about him that has watched, competed against, played with, discussed, etc., that's the theme. That's the word that comes back every time is poise, which has a huge, you know, it's a big giant umbrella that a lot of things go underneath, where the unflappable thing that that Hamilton was talking about, or you know, everything under the sun in terms of you can't rattle him, you can't mess with him, no moment's too big. You saw that in those fourth quarter moments, those overtime moments, those 4th and 11, no problem, I got it moments. It's 4th down, they're blitzing, doesn't matter, I'll wait the extra beat to let Terry McLaurin run free for a touchdown moment, throwing between 3 different guys, the Jamison Crowder touchdown against Philadelphia. All these incredible things that, you know, happen to some players seem to happen to him all the time because the moment isn't too big for him. You know what I mean? Like, in that word for a rookie, for anybody, poise. Like, Sam Darnold's been in the league a long time. He wasn't very poised last couple weeks of the season, right? The playoff loss and the shellacking to the Rams. Wasn't much poise there. There was a meltdown. It was panic time. He was terrible. That wasn't the case with Daniels. Amazing.
It's time for a Capitals power play ahead of their road game in Philly.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
They will be dropping the puck in about 40 minutes at the Wachovia Center for the Capitals. Game number 54, road game number 28. They've been great on the road, 18-7-2 on the season. Alex Ovechkin, team high, 25 goals. He has scored in three straight.
This Philadelphia team gives up a lot of goals, GP. 29th in the old National Hockey League, you're giving them up. So this should be one of those, I don't know, good opportunities, you would say, for one Alexander Ovechkin to close in on a previously unbreakable or thought to be unbreakable record.
There's your Caps Powerball. There you go, big voice guy. You do you, baby. You don't need me, big voice guy.
That's right.
You got this thing. Tomorrow's show's going to be packed as well. This has been a tremendous broadcast today. Good work to Darris and the crew for putting it all together. Louis Riddick, Thurman Thomas, Kurt Warner, Mark Schlereth, Brian Baldinger, Devin McCourty, Vernon Davis, Dan Orlovsky, Kyle Hamilton, Kyle Van Noy. What a broadcast. Tomorrow, we're going to be loaded again and very, very excited to talk to Hugh Douglas from Philly, preview the Eagles side of the Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl matchup. Torrey Smith, buddy of mine from the Fredericksburg area, will be on the show as well. Caught up with former top pick Ryan Leaf on, you know, what was the difference between him having all of his struggles and Jaden Daniels seemingly have none off the field. We'll also talk to Kevin Harlan, Gerald McCoy, among others, tomorrow as well. So you'll want to be listening starting at 2 o'clock. Thanks to Toby and Ryan and Ben back in studio, for Darris and Denton and our crew out here in New Orleans. Grant Paulson saying so long for Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.